But it did.
Glad
so
you
it
didn't
was
do
very,
that.
very nice. And I got money rained on me. It was beautiful. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he is on the hotline. We get him anytime there's a big movie release. It's always great to have him online. One of my good pals. Let's go to my movie critic, your movie critic. It is TM Pal. What's up, buddy?
No, thanks for leading in with the blackface comments.
You know, just in case you need to send us audio to, you know, to the movie.
Yeah, that's what we do with TM. You know that.
No, I don't think that would have gone over well. What's funny about that whole night is I was actually supposed to be a judge that night for that contest.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I had a conflict. I'm pretty sure, like, one of, like, the big movies for December was screening that night, and Olivera had reached out to me about, hey, we're going to have some judges. You know, we're going to make a big deal about the karaoke contest. I was like, oh, I'm all in. And then he told me the night, I was like, oh, I can't do it then. Something big was opening, so I didn't go. But, yeah, I would have probably been a little biased and probably voted for you as well.
It's okay. I didn't know any of the other judges, and they all voted for me, so it worked out perfect. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, TM, I don't know why I'm so intrigued by the review you're about to throw at us, but I really am. We talked about the trailer. I saw it during the Maverick, previews, and so did Will. I guess that's where most people have been introduced to the trailers. If you went and saw Maverick, you saw the trailer for Elvis. I have no idea who this guy is playing Elvis. I honestly don't even know this director that everybody seems to be excited about, which is, what, Baz something or another? What's his name?
Baz Luhrmann. You know, he's done Moulin Rouge, lots of big musical-type films, and he's got this kind of big, bombastic style to him. So, I mean, obviously, when they're talking about Elvis, you know, you want to bring a guy like him to do this. And, you know, it's funny you talked about how you were interested. So I got to see it, last week, actually. It didn't even, they screened it for us last week, so I wasn't on Thursday night. And, I put a little thing up on Instagram story, just, you know, kind of the still that's up there for us when we go to these screenings and put it up there. I had a lot of people reach out. How was it? Like local media.
Right.
How was it? And I don't think it's going to be like a huge hit, but that is like a barometer for me sometimes to kind of see like what the buzz is like if people are really reaching out. Hey, how was it? And you were talking about Austin Butler, who is the newcomer, who's Elf.
Yeah.
I can tell you, after seeing this film, and I know we talked a little bit about this, about being concerned that maybe he didn't look enough like Elvis, you know, but then we said maybe it's hard to cast Elvis because he has such a unique look.
Right.
I can tell you that this is likely a star-making performance for Austin Butler.
Okay.
Excellent. I mean, really, really, really good in it. For being kind of, I hate to use this word, but a nobody. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
He's an unknown. Unknown's a better word. I shouldn't say nobody. An unknown or unproven talent. I mean, he really took advantage of this role and does an amazing job with it. And it spans all of Elvis's life. I mean, from childhood till the end. And as much as I like Butler, there's no denying that the movie's long. Okay. I'm not going to run away from that or hide that from anybody here where I'm doing this review. It's 159 minutes. It carries a heavy load in terms of runtime and a biopic. And like I said, it spans all of Elvis's, you know, career. But the one thing I'll say about it is I don't know what I would take out. Like, yeah, it's long. And it definitely feels long certain times. But I don't know what I would take out because it's all kind of important. I mean, they start out, obviously, in the beginning where people were, and I think it's so stupid to this day, but people were losing their minds because he was shaking his hips on television. It's the stupidest thing to look back on and think that's what got us worked up. It's actually a pretty good metaphor for today to show you how we've evolved and what the things we get worked up over now. But,
right.
I mean, it spans that. But it also gets into some other parts of, you know, of his life, you know, how he kind of had to reinvent himself at times. They do a big segment of the movie on the Christmas special. And if you're not familiar with the Elvis Christmas special, a lot of, like, images and scenes and performances you may have seen of Elvis come from that Christmas special. And I thought that part was really great. Tom Hanks is also in it as Colonel Parker. I would say that even though it says Elvis in the movie, it's kind of Colonel Parker's story as well in a lot of ways. And because, you know, this was a shady guy that was very controlling over Elvis and was in control of a lot of his affairs and maybe had his hands in the pocket too much. But I think Tom Hanks is really good as well, playing this kind of shady character that is still a mystery even after the movie. The one thing I would say about it, and I'll kind of take my daughter's perspective is this. She didn't know a lot about Elvis, but she definitely wanted to see it. She likes Hanks. You know, it's like kind of a big musical type film. And she wanted to see it. She did not know a lot about Elvis. She didn't know the story of what happened to him. She loved everything about the film, like everything about the film, until they get to Vegas. And unfortunately for those who are familiar with Elvis, things go downhill for him when he gets to Vegas, health-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, it really gets rough for him, and it doesn't end well. So I think that would be the one kind of maybe complaint I have about it is, you know, that runtime, but also when they get to Vegas, it gets dark, and it's definitely not as fun anymore. It's almost sad. You want it to be over with. But unfortunately, that is what happened to him. I mean, it didn't end well for him. He got paranoid. He got hooked on pills. People were taking advantage of him more than ever. There may have been mob connections of why he was performing in Vegas for as long as he was. I mean, you know, Priscilla had left him at this point. Oh, by the way, so the person who plays Priscilla, Olivia Dijon, I think that's how you pronounce the last name. She was like one of the little kids in The Visit. Man, she is a dead ringer for Priscilla. I mean, just a dead ringer how good she looks and everything else. I mean, they did a really good job with that. But I do think, obviously, the last half of the movie, it's a bit of a downer. And I also think that Elvis may have not realized the impact he had. Like, I still think Elvis is cool. Like, I think he's got his own style, but he's cool. He was also groundbreaking because, in a way, I kind of think people thought he was selling out, going to Vegas and doing a residency. Oh, by the way, that's the goal these days, is to get a residency in Vegas, you know, and make big, huge money, like Lady Gaga, Britney Spears, you know. So he was the first one to really do that, where you could just, you know, make bank and fill up a studio or, you know, a stage every single night with people. So I do think it kind of shows that he did have a big impact. But as far as biopic goes, yeah, it's a little bit paint by numbers, but I actually thought it was a really good movie and well done. And yeah, it has some big musical numbers and it's some stuff, you know, can, you know, maybe lean into a little bit more of Boz's kind of flashy style. But for the most part, I do think they tell a really good Elvis story.
Awesome. Well, that's what I wanted to hear. And obviously it's, you know, it's a biopic. It's going to have a ton of music. Probably every Elvis song you've ever heard is going to be layered into it, right?
Yeah, I mean, Elvis's music is obviously throughout. The family is given the blessing. This isn't one of these biopics like Jimi Hendrix, where they won't let him use any of the music. Like, why the hell make the movie if they're not going to let you use the music? You know, it's just pointless. But yeah, you get his performances, and Butler's just really, really good. And they age him up. I mean, they have him young, obviously, in Memphis, and they show his roots with like B.B. King and everyone else, and you know how he had the blues and he was trying to honor that. And I know some people think he stole it. I don't think he stole it. I think he just took it and modified it, just like a lot of other musicians do. He just had his own style with it. And, I think it's a pretty good biopic. And I also think it's good counter-programming, Johnny, in a way. Like, yeah, Top Gun Maverick's awesome. We're going to get Thor Love and Thunder here in a couple weeks. The Minions open up. We just had Lightyear. Sometimes it's good to have counter-programming of your studio with maybe a film that's going to be geared towards, you know, an adult audience. And let's face it, the adult audience did show back up for Top Gun. There was a young audience because it was crossing generations. But still, they said the over 40 crowd really came back, you know, for that film. So if you said they're all in Top Gun Maverick seeing that preview, this may be another one they decide to go back for as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm in Savannah all weekend, so I may try to squeeze in a viewing of it with Leah now. And try to go watch it, because I wanted to go see something last week, but the only thing was Jurassic World, you know, the Old Dominion or whatever it was called, Old Dirty Bastard, and I didn't really want to waste my money on that. I wanted to watch it until it streamed, so I think I'm going to do, I think I'm going to have to go see Elvis now. But, you know, you said it's, how many minutes, because I'm doing the math, is that like almost 3 hours?
159 minutes. That means you're clocking in at 2 hours and 39 minutes in terms.
Good Lord.
And
I don't know.
And I'm not going to lie to you. You can kind of feel it at times. I mean, I can't sit here and be a critic and tell you, hey, I like the movie, but if someone came to me and be like, man, it was long, I can't argue with it, because it is. But I've thought about what I would shave off of it, and it's probably some of the downer stuff in Vegas. I hate to say it. Yeah. That's probably where I do it. But still, it only shave off maybe 10 or 15 minutes. So you're still looking at a two-hour-plus movie, even if you did that, probably close to two and a half. So, and I think all the stuff they showed was important to show his life, especially, like I said, the focus on the Christmas special is really well done. Just kind of how, like, you know, making a TV show, reinventing him, kind of having him cross over to a different audience. Because I don't think people realize Elvis had a couple comebacks, like, in his career. Like, he really did. Right. He kind of faded away, and then he would come back. So he actually had some legs for back then, especially considering how fast music was changing in genres in the 50s and 60s. So the fact that he had some legs and went into the 70s, I think that's pretty good.
Hell yeah. So I haven't watched any of it. I'm embarrassed telling you this, but I gave up on all Star Wars stuff when Princess Leia started flying in that movie. That was the last time I watched anything Star Wars. I was like, I'm done. She's flying. I know she has the Force, but you know what? Nah, we're not doing this anymore. Now I'm seeing all this stuff about Obi-Wan, the Kenobi series, being ridiculously good, and I'm almost tempted to jump back in. Could I watch that series knowing that I've watched no Mandalorian or any of the other crap and still be okay with it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a Ewan McGregor series. And listen, not everybody loves it. I mean, good Lord, you hear Gio talk about it. I've got some text messages that I couldn't read on air talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi. But, I liked what I saw with it. Now, I'm going to let everybody know. I am like two episodes back. I've had a lot going on. There's a lot of movies. There's also a lot of television on right now.
Yeah, man.
But I think you could totally go and watch this and be fine. I mean, it's in the past, for one thing. It's not even in the same timeline as The Mandalorian. And plus, it's just a showcase for Ewan McGregor, who I've always liked. I like Ewan McGregor. So yeah. I don't mind seeing more of him and, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'll tell you what I think is excellent right now in terms of television shows. And I am completely caught up on this. I'll be ready for the new episode tomorrow. And that's The Boys. The Boys has
been
excellent. I mean, really, really, really good. I didn't have a problem with last season. I know some people did. You know, they thought the villain kind of comes out of nowhere, and it's almost like a silly villain with Nazis and different things with Stormfront last season. I think this season, for those who have watched it, I think we finally found the villain that we always needed in Homelander. I know he'd always been kind of a heavy and a jerk, and I get that. He's different this season. He's scary this season. And I think that's given them like a real threat in that show of like, what if Superman was like, screw it, I'm not being nice anymore. Like, what are you going to do about it? And I think that's what's made this season so great. I know they've had some gross out things, like in the first episode with the termite guy, like Ant-Man shrinking down and different things. And, some of the gore and I've heard that tomorrow's episode where they have the hero gasm, where basically all the heroes go away to this bot sponsored orgy, and it's just this wild episode. I've heard that it's crazy tomorrow. So, but still, I think it's been really, really good, because I think